Good afternoon. My name is Pete Fritz. I'm the Healthy Communities Planner with the Indiana State Department of Health. I'm going to spend the next 20 minutes kind of giving you an overview of some of the work that we've been doing in Indiana, bringing diverse partners together and promoting changes to the built environment and policy changes in communities at the local level. As a State Department of Health, we've been going out in communities throughout our state and trying to promote environmental change and policy change, and that's part of my job. I approach this work coming out of a design background. I was a design professional and an urban planner throughout for many years, and the last 4 years I have been working in the State Department of Health. So I'm somewhat new to the public health realm, and I've learned a lot, and it's very exciting work, and I'm really excited to be able to be here today to talk about this. There's my little disclosure, and then so first, partnerships. Do they really make a difference? And I kind of equate this. I'm really into cycling right now, and I just bought a tandem so my wife and I can ride together. But have you ever tried to ride a tandem alone like this guy's doing? It's really hard to do, especially from the back seat. The front seat is, you know, you can still do it, but it's kind of like driving a truck. Do they really make a difference? Well, from my experience, I really quickly realized that I could not do this work alone. Many times as design professionals, sometimes we go at these kind of things by ourselves or in small groups, but I've quickly realized that we have to do this as a group, working with partners to make it really work. And what are those opportunities to collaborate? Certainly, changes to the built environment provide many opportunities to collaborate with non-traditional partners, and we've seen this in Indiana. In many of the planning efforts that communities do, such as comprehensive plans, which are land use plans, long-range plans for communities, there's opportunities to collaborate there. Park and recreation planning, I think we'll be hearing about that later. Transportation plans, much of our work revolves around transportation in the built environment, certainly. So transportation planning is a key element in a lot of the work that we do in collaborating. Safe routes to school plans, we've been doing a lot with that, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And then bicycle and pedestrian planning is a really good tool to do a lot of the work we do. And we also find ourselves doing food access planning, food access work to get access to healthy, nutritious foods in communities. So collaborating for change in Indiana. This has happened on a number of different routes here as we've gone down this road. Our State Department of Health has partnered with Bicycle Indiana. It's a statewide bicycle advocacy group. It has about 3,000 members in our state, and we did 18 planning for bicycle-friendly community workshops around the state. We're also working with Health by Design. It's a statewide active living coalition on 7 complete streets workshops. We've done those. And we're currently working on 25 active living workshops around our state. We've done 10 of those, and we're having our next round of 5. We're doing 5 per year. I'll talk about those. And then also, we're working with Indiana communities on funding 10 bicycle and pedestrian master plans. So we're providing seed money for communities to do this planning work. And this is all through our CDC funding that we have, that they are enabling us to do that. So, workshops. We've been really successful in doing these community workshops around our state. We've done 30 of those in Indiana in about the last 3 or 4 years. This map starts to show those in different color codes and where we're doing it around our state. We've been trying to get throughout the state, not just the urbanized areas, but also rural areas. And we've had over 2,000 people attend these workshops in the last few years. We've had very good attendance, and it's very exciting. Many of them we've had mayors. We've had mayors, city council people, elected officials spend a whole day with us, and even into an evening meeting, which is unusual to get them to sit in a room for that long. But it's been really fun. We're also doing bicycle and safety education. We partnered with Bicycle Indiana, the statewide bicycle advocacy group I mentioned, to fund bicycle safety and education activities for about the last 9 years. This was originally funded through, if you remember, the Department of Transportation had the Transportation Enhancements Program. They allowed safety to be part of one of the eligible activities. The current highway bill does not allow that, but in the last 9 years, we funded, I'd say, about $75,000 a year for this activity, and directly through Bicycle Indiana, building capacity with that partner to do this. And now that this funding's running out, they're going to start doing this on their own, and we've helped build capacity to do this kind of work with them. And then bicycle and pedestrian plans can be a key element of community planning and partnering. This starts to show the red communities that are communities that have bicycle and trail plans within our state. The hatched areas are counties that have that. So we're starting to map that and see what our reach is for this. Just the 10 plans that we're going to fund, each of those plans will likely target about $75 million of activity, built environment change. So if you start adding that up, we are doing about $750 million of programming of new bike and pedestrian activities around our state during the next 5 years. Certainly those are long-range plans, about 20-year plans, but even if we capture a fraction of that, that starts to make a huge difference, and this is all built environment change in our state. We're also doing safe routes to school programming. We have an agreement with our Department of Transportation, NDOT, to promote non-infrastructure programs for safe routes to school. We have a two-year agreement. We've got $200,000 and a memorandum of understanding with them that they're funneling these federal transportation monies to our state Department of Health. And then we're going out in the state and doing programming and promoting these non-infrastructure programs, such as safe crossing programs to schools, things like walking school bus programs. And we're doing trainings around the state. We've created a guidebook for safe routes to school and non-infrastructure programs, and now we're doing pilot projects where we're funding about $150,000. Most of that money we're pushing right back into the school districts to fund pilot projects for them to implement these non-infrastructure programs. And what we've started to do is analyze this Safe Routes to School programs as well. And what this starts to show is how we can get this money into school districts that need it, that are exhibiting health risk. All of these pink and red school districts have greater than 50% free and reduced lunch, which is an indicator of health risk in many cases. So what we did is we mapped all those using GIS, and those little blue dots are where we've had Safe Routes to School projects for about the last 6 years. And you can start to see where they intersect. We have the darker red areas, so those districts at least have one project in them. All the other school districts that are in pink do not have a Safe Routes to School project in them, and we're looking at targeting those because we feel that those are the districts that are maybe in the greatest need for this kind of an intervention to get kids out moving, walking, and bicycling to school. So how did this change occur in Indiana? And I want to go through a little bit about how this happened. This was a very deliberate approach, and it really started with a series of community meetings around our state, led by Health by Design, which again is our state active living coalition. And by the way, we have our executive director, Kim Irwin, is here. Kim. So Kim, you can talk to her and she can tell you how this all started. But Kim started working with Indiana AARP. AARP is a very powerful statewide organization. AARP has 800,000 members in Indiana. We're only a state of 6.2 million people. And when you can leverage that kind of power to be on your side to do this work, it's very powerful. So they kind of started doing it. And then we saw the success they were having, and we funded a number of statewide Complete Streets workshops working with Health by Design to help facilitate these. Then we started making presentations at conferences like this about this Complete Streets work and policy change work. We provided technical assistance and supporting materials to communities as they needed it and as they asked for it. We tracked progress to policy change, and we reported this to our key partners to show them what we're doing. There's a statewide group, the Complete Streets group that meets monthly that we report to, and we show maps to them, and I'll show you a map. We also track progress on policy change and reported to those partners, and we created a strategy to educate political decision makers. And this is a success we've had. So Complete Streets in Indiana, we now, all the green areas show those areas that either counties, municipalities, or metropolitan planning organizations at regional transportation agencies that have adopted these plans and the coverage we have. We now cover 46% of our population, over 3 million people, and that is since 2009. The beginning of 2009, we did not have any Complete Street policies in our state. So in the last 5 years, we almost have half of the state covered with some level of Complete Streets policy. And that's very powerful now. And now we're seeing communities start to see a map like this and say, well, this is looking pretty important. We might want to do that. And all those blue shaded communities are communities that have expressed an interest and are going down that path to adopt a complete streets policy. So how do you start working together to create these partnerships? Certainly building a coalition or working with a coalition that's either started or is existing is a key way to do this work. We found many times that we go in and we've been doing these active living workshops, there are local coalitions that initiate that work and that help us go in and organize these workshops. Sometimes if there isn't a coalition is born out of those workshops that we do. And we see that. We end our workshop, and then we see them continuing to meet based on the people that we've gotten together with. Developing educational program is another great way to create these partnerships. And we've seen that happen as well. We come out of these workshops and these coalitions and groups start to create education campaigns about active living, about active transportation in their community. We also develop strategies to influence decision makers. And this is kind of a natural progression from a lot of the work we're doing. When you get a mayor in a room, and when as many people as about this size, and he or she starts to see that people are really interested in this active living work. They want to make changes to their community to give people more decisions about how they get around and create a more healthy community. That starts to click in those mayors' mind and those decision makers. They start to see that this is an important thing to do. And you can start developing education campaigns for decision makers and the general public. Also develop a strategy to influence those decision makers and how that happens. Many of these coalitions are doing that. They're meeting on a regular basis and figuring out, well, how are we going to make these city councils start adopting change? Some of them have already had a lot of success. Only in 1 year, one of our active living coalitions that came out of our workshop has leveraged right at about $200,000 of a new budget line item in their city council's budget. And this is a small community of about 12,000 people in Indiana. That's a lot of money to start doing active transportation, active living work. And it's now in their budget. And it all came out of this active living workshop that we've been doing. And spreading the word is another way to create these partnerships, creating this network of people. Many times in these workshops, we find that people, even in small communities, have never even met each other. Sometimes you think, you know, you go into a community, yeah, everybody knows each other here, but a lot of times you get health people, and you get then people that are, say, with a bike and pedestrian coalition, and they've never even talked to each other before. So this is a first chance to get these people in the same room talking and spreading the word. And then be prepared to provide technical assistance, to start local advisory committees to help them going on. And what we've been doing with these is we have follow-up activities that are scheduled where they report back to us and do some action planning, and we help them to make sure that they're going down the right path. So Indianapolis is a good example of how this worked, and this was a story of a complete streets policy that happened. We knew that the mayor had expressed interest in doing this, so there was already kind of a top-down interest. But to get this going, a local coalition met when it was led by Health by Design again, met with print media contacts and city council members at a dangerous intersection to talk about this issue. So we had the press, we had decision makers, and we saw families crossing at an uncontrolled crossing to get to a park. And, you know, it's very obvious once you start seeing these things. It led to an op-ed piece in the Indianapolis Star, which then led to many other op-ed pieces or opinion pieces that other groups wrote and were published in their newspaper. And that really started getting a buzz about this whole idea of a complete streets policy for the city. Coalition members also worked with a local TV station on a piece about pedestrian safety at intersections. We did some kind of guerrilla journalism. We had the TV reporter, the camera operator, was kind of hiding behind a bus stop at an intersection filming. And we were just pressing the cross button. You know, they had, which one of them didn't work, by the way, which was kind of scary. But we were pressing the buttons and just crossing just like pedestrians in a normal way and seeing how drivers were interacting with us as pedestrians, and they were filming. Nobody got hurt, thank goodness. And we didn't really have any close calls, but you could see how it was really needing to be work done, not only in the physical environment of this intersection, which could use some changes, but also the behavior of motorists with pedestrians. And it made it on the evening news. It made it on 11 o'clock news with and really started again to reinforce that whole buzz. We used social media to distribute a petition. I think we had about 3,000 signatures. And then it went to our council, which is a city-county council of about 30 members. It passed unanimously. I mean, no one can remember the last time anything passed unanimously with 30 council members, and it's a very diverse council. So and it, then it was named the number one policy in 2012 by the National Complete Streets Coalition, which was another win and a celebration. So this really does work. One of the things to do is to shape the story. And how you do that. And certainly what we've found works in these workshop formats is to present a solution and show people to visualize how this works, because these concepts are kind of difficult. By adopting this policy, it provides options for all citizens. That's kind of a typical solution. But what we've done is we do what we call a human bump out. I don't know, has anybody ever done one of these at a workshop before? They're really interesting. So we go out and we do a walk audit at all of our workshops, where we'll go out and spend about 45 minutes walking, looking at the built environment, and getting people's perceptions about what's good and what's bad. But a bump out or a curb extension is where you take the existing curb and you extend it. You extend it out here and create these areas that now could be places for outdoor seating, could be places for landscaping. It's traffic calming. It slows down traffic when you extend curbs. It's basically a parking area or even a non-parking area that's not being used. So we put people around that edge where that curb could be, and they can see this area that can be reclaimed on the street for pedestrian use. People really get excited about that. We've come out of a number of these, and all of a sudden there's bump-out campaigns all over Indiana to build these things. And they really work. They really work to calm traffic for places, for pedestrians, and create a more pleasing pedestrian, safe pedestrian environment. So how do you do this? Start by creating partnerships for the built environment. One issue that's really important is to anticipate community's knowledge of the subject. When we go into a community, we do some upfront work. We talk to the leaders in that community to find out what do they know about this. What have they already done? Do they have any plans, things they want to do before we go in? Anticipate that, and we tailor our approach to their knowledge of the subject. We also begin with grassroots efforts led by strong volunteers, because many communities already have people doing this work. AARP is a great way to tap those people that are already doing work in communities, find out who they are, and get them to be part of these workshops. Also, we use non-governmental groups to lead certain parts of the effort. Certainly, as a state employee, there are only certain things I can and cannot do. So getting non-governmental groups like Health by Design and others to lead these efforts are really important. Certainly, AARP, with all their clout, with our state legislature, can do much more than I can ever do. And engaging transportation officials and MPOs. Does everybody know what a Metropolitan Planning Organization is? Many of you do, some don't. They're a regional transportation planning authority. They take federal transportation planning funds and distribute them within an identified region. These are communities of over 50,000 people. Work with those people and get them involved in this, because transportation is a key thing. Involve all roadway users, and community members should meet regularly to track success. So wrapping this up, so your challenge is using partners to advocate. One thing, and these are things that we've seen as what builds success in communities, a sense of urgency. When you go into a community, let them know that this is urgent. Community change to accommodate active living will not happen without urgent, deliberate effort. This is stuff that's easy to put off in communities. Another is political will. And we tell this to people at our workshops, politicians need to consider more than the naysayers and do the right thing. Because we know these things are right. We know that they can change communities and they can create better health outcomes. And partners need to help influence these politicians to see that and do the right thing. Leaders. We need leaders to step up. Nothing will get done without good leadership. But we also need doers, people to actually get it done. Make things happen and inspire others to follow. And we've started to see this through these workshops and follow-up activities. And then get the public involved. Partners can create support from communities, from their community, and engage citizens to do this work. They can even call public meetings. They can do their own kind of follow-up public engagement, which is really important. And then these kind of things take on a life of their own in communities. So these are some of the resources that we've used. Bicycle Indiana, Health by Design. We also have a statewide Healthy Weight Initiative coalition that we work with. We also have a statewide anti-obesity plan that's all part of this work. That's my contact information, and we'll go on to the next presenter.